Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Now, Craig, look, there haven't been too many new, I think, noteworthy developments for the precious metals sector. However, there continues to be news that I know a lot of people are focusing on, both domestically in the U.S. and internationally. It seems like a lot more international news has started to dominate the headlines outside of simply the ongoing Ukraine-Russia conflict and what Russia's doing to try to avoid some of these sanctions. Overall, though, it's been a bit of a slower week for the precious metals, for commodities broadly. What are you seeing in the charts or in any data that's coming out that has at least you paying attention to the metals saying, look, this could be pretty impactful, maybe not short term, but longer term?
Yeah, well, nice to talk to you guys again. It has been that sort of week. I think heading into today, gold was completely unchanged on the week, you know, with like up 10, down 6, down 4 type of thing or whatever it was. So it's been a quiet week. A lot of these Fed goons grabbing a hot mic. That's probably been some of the biggest news of the week. Next week, we'll get the latest inflation data in the U.S. And so that'll, you know, that'll flip things all over the place. But there have been events, there have been headlines this week that I guess what I would focus on today is making sure everybody's playing the long game. You know, you remember in my annual forecast I put out in every January, one of the things I summed up, I was like, yeah, look, you know, this is always kind of a fool's errand trying to tell you what's going to happen 12 months from now, where price is going to be. That's always, you know, challenging. But one thing we can say for certain, it's going to be an incredibly volatile and unpredictable year. Well, got that part right. And I think that's very important to remember because it's so easy to get caught up in the tick for tick and, oh, why is gold down today? But, you know, or why is gold up and the metals are down or the shares are down, you know, and get, look, I think it's very important that you keep a kind of a 35,000 foot view of all these different events that are taking place. You know, 2 weeks ago, we had the story about the Russian central bank paying $5,000 per gram of gold for the next 90 days. And then here just earlier today, they've now waived that off and said, no, this is going to be more of a not a fixed rate beginning tomorrow. It's going to be more of a variable thing. Maybe that all that did was lend some strength to the ruble because the ruble's all the way back now to stronger versus the dollar than it was before the Ukraine war even began. And but nonetheless, that's a big story. You know, is it directly impactful on a day-to-day basis? Not necessarily. But is it a big story going forward? Sure. You know, we saw what happened in nickel on the LME as all this took place a couple of weeks ago. And the total, just ridiculous market structure they have there that they canceled trades, you know, and stopped trading for a week. And the long-term implications of that are significant because it's not just nickel. About every single metal has a physical market in London. We saw a headline today that I always get their name wrong. The massive commodity company, Trafigura, T-R-A-F-I-G-U-R-A. I never remember how they pronounce it. But
Trafigura,
whatever. Trafigura. Anyway. They notified the LME today, apparently, it's on Reuters, that they are set to remove large amounts of zinc from the LME warehouses. And the LME says they're aware of tightness in zinc, and they're monitoring all the metals to ensure orderly markets. Well, the LME has had varying levels of backwardation in these base metals for the last 6 months leading up to this. We saw what happened in nickel. But aluminum, zinc, copper, palladium, all of them have had some measure of backwardation, which, you know, is always an indicator of short supply. And so, again, do these kind of things trickle over into the precious metals as well? Is this part of a trend? I think it is. So on weeks like this, again, it's not so much, hey, look, we're going to catch some swing and some pivot and we're going to trade. We're going to make $10, you know, in gold or something like that. These are weeks for the long-term investors to sit back, try to notice as many of these longer term trends as possible and then kind of position themselves accordingly.
Craig, I think that's a fantastic point. in your macro cast, you're really looking at macro trends. And so part of the macro trends are not getting stuck in the day-to-day wiggles and the day-to-day news blips, but planting people's flags in a particular sector as far as a longer term investment. It's interesting how often we hear people are invested for the long term, or I've got a long term outlook on gold or silver. I've got a long term outlook on the base metals. I'm a long term fan of copper. And then days later, they get thrown out of their positions because of one little blip in the prices or one little news event. And they completely lose their focus of that they were in this for the long term picture. So as a whole, commodities, when you look at them over the last few decades, are still historically very low when relative to general equities, to real estate, to bonds. So there's still a lot of room to run in the commodity space. And not all of these issues that you're bringing up have to do with Ukraine, which has been the story for the last month or two. A lot of these are serious supply demand deficits. So when you look at this backdrop, Craig, do you see this as an opportunity that's just commodity wide? And do you think it's going to spill over into the gold and silver space? Or do you think it's something where we're actually seeing the effects of inflation and monetary policy spilling over into hard assets?
Well, I think to the first part of your question, Shad, I guess I'm just such an old guy now that I hearken back to my 3 decades ago when I first got my Series 7 license and became a stockbroker. You know, and back then, man, if you made 10% in a year with a dividend, it was like, you know, you were really doing your job. I mean, this was great. Now, if you don't make 10% intraday, you want to blow the thing out, you know, and it's just such a symptom, or, you know, it just shows you what life is like 30 years later, that so many people have so little patience in letting trends play out because, you know, they hear their neighbor making money in Tesla, you know, or something, and nobody wants to play the long game anymore. But there are these long game trends that you're talking about that are very beneficial in the end for commodities because, again, there's... we can always argue about above ground supplies and mine supplies and all that kind of stuff. But in the end, they are kind of finite. And therefore, you know, as you look around the planet and you see these spots of supply issues or supply shortages, that's indicative of heightened demand. And eventually that does play out into higher prices, or at least it's supposed to. You know, even like this week, maybe again, unnoticed because there's so many other things going on, but copper is pressing up against 480 and is right at basically its all-time high. So what happens, again, just think playing a longer idea here, what if copper pulls a not necessarily a zinc or a nickel or an iron ore, you know, like what we saw last year, but what if copper starts trading with a 5 and goes to 6 as everybody piles into it? What's that going to do for silver? So they're just, you know, it is very important. Unless, you know, you're just an adrenaline junkie and you constantly got to be moving positions around, it's very important to try to get the more the secular trend right. And I think the secular shift is moving in our favor. We've been talking about this for years, obviously, but with all the events thus far in 2022, it just seems to be becoming more clear. And so it's very important for folks, again, long game, have some allocation to commodities. And, you know, let it play itself out.
I understand the reason for playing the long game in something like commodities, but you also can't blame the investors trying to make bigger profits and not have to, in a way, grind out these profits, because inherently, aren't commodities usually kind of slow moving because it does take so much more investment and so much more work to get these commodities through the system, which is why maybe they deserve only a smaller portion of people's portfolios?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. That's totally understandable. But, you know, that's all part of diversification. You start shoving all your eggs into one, you know, hot basket trying to make big returns, you're also subjecting yourself to bigger losses. And I'll give you one more thing, Corey, that was mentioned this week. I guess it was just yesterday. This whole week's kind of run together on me. Well, was it? No, maybe it was the day before, but it doesn't really matter. I call him Horseface, but Bill Dudley, who has kind of a little John Elway, kind of long buck tooth face to him. So anyway, I don't mean to be mean to him, but he is a former Fed official. So I feel like he does deserve to be castigated and ridiculed. But nonetheless, Dudley came out and said the Fed is going to kill the market. They want to kill the stock market. They don't care. There's not going to be a Powell pivot. They're going to just keep jacking rates, short rates up as high as they can. They want to, they're one of their tools as it was described by him, is create a reverse wealth effect. Remember, that was the wealth effect was the old Greenspan thing. You know, if you can see your 401k going up month after month or quarter after quarter, you're feeling wealthier, you're more apt to go buy a new refrigerator, and you get growth out of it. Well, the Fed now, in their desperate attempt to restrain the inflation that just until a couple months ago they were either in denial or were saying it was transitory, now they want to create the reverse wealth effect by killing the stock market and driving it down 20%. Well, that's a pretty dangerous game, I'd say, right there. And that would augur, if that's the case, if you want to take them seriously, maybe you need to be reducing some of your equity positioning and going into things, you know, more stable, potentially stable or hard asset type investments. I don't know. Again, that's just another big picture sign that was put out there this week that I didn't want to fail to mention.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up the horse face there and his plan to squash the wealth effect for people. That can't be a very popular idea. I understand they're trying to rein things in, but that seems like the wrong approach. But this does tie into what we kind of see with different cycles, that as we are nearing the end of a 12-year bull run, where there does seem to be some weakness under the surface for the general equities markets, those are usually when countercyclical markets like the commodities do better. And I would argue that they don't always move slowly. Look at what happened in oil in 2 years. Those stocks, many of the related oil and nat gas stocks, are up 300-500%, some up even 1,000%. Look at what happened in uranium. People said, oh, it's never going to happen. And then in the course of a year or two, many of those stocks were up 3x, 5x, 10x. Look at what happened in nickel. And it happened in a very short amount of time. And we'd already seen the same kind of move in palladium back in from late 2020 to 2021, where many palladium stocks were up 3 to 5x. So I would suggest that if people have a balanced portfolio and exposure to different commodities, some of these things can move very suddenly, and you got to be in it to win it. But what most people do is watch it happen from the sideline and have no allocation. And we talk a lot about precious metals on the show, and we focus a lot on gold and silver, but there have been some fantastic moves in a number of commodities, whether it's iron ore, aluminum, I mean, you name it. And what we're seeing with zinc right now, that's probably going to affect the silver miners who have a lot of exposure to zinc. And if there is a big run in zinc, that helps silver producers, that helps polymetallic base metals producers. So I would suggest that those kind of moves that we've just seen, you know, Craig, do you think we could see something like that in silver or something like that in gold, a move not maybe as epic as what we saw in nickel or palladium, but a sudden move that catches a lot of people off guard?
Yeah, those are all excellent points, Shad. And I don't even know what more to add. I think that was all tremendous, I guess, way for people to look at it. I mean, you've got to be in it to win it, like you said, and you've got to be almost pre-positioned these days because flows of funds move so quickly and information moves so quickly that all of a sudden something will take off 50% and then you're like, oh, I always wanted to buy that. And you think, well, I'm going to wait. It'll pull back. And then it never does and you end up chasing, right? And so like I said, all of this kind of augurs back to, you know, what I said earlier. This is just such a wildly volatile and unpredictable year. You don't, we have no idea what things are going to even look like 90 days from now. I mean, we're heading into the summer. There's all sorts of political intrigue here in the U.S. all of a sudden. You don't know how it's going to play out in Ukraine. You have no idea how events are ever going to play out in Southeast Asia, places like that. The Fed says they're going to hike and they're going to announce quantitative tightening, their next Fed meeting in the first week of May, and they're going to start unloading mortgage-backed securities into a market where mortgage rates are already over 5% here in the U.S. for the first time since 2011. So we'll see how that goes. Then they say they're going to start selling treasuries in a market where the yield on the 10-year notes got from 174 to, 254 in a month. Yeah, so you think you can make plans based off of what you're seeing, but things move so quickly and plans change so quickly that really the best thing you can do is just pay attention on a daily basis and try to diversify yourself as best as possible. Because, man, you think you know what's going to happen and you put all your eggs in one basket, man, you can get the rug pulled out from under you pretty quick.
Oh, exactly. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. But let's elaborate a little bit more on those Fed minutes and what Dudley had to say, because it does seem more so now that we could have a 50 basis point Fed rate hike. Maybe we'll even have a rate hike outside of a meeting. And it looks like the Fed is going to at least start unwinding their balance sheet. I know that you don't think it's going to last forever, that the Fed is going to be able to continue down this path, but what do you think the potential is here? The Fed does seem to be at least continuing down this path, albeit we're only one rate hike in.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see how this plays out. It's going to, I mean, here they're telling you this is what we're going to do. And we actually, as Dudley in this moment of honesty, said, we want to break this. We've got to break the stock market. We've got to bring risk assets down because that's the way they think the only, you know, think of these people. There are these academic theoreticians think they're going to control the inflation they created by slowing the demand, the consumer demand side down by making everybody poorer. What? I mean, think about that. But that's what they're telling you they're going to do. Okay, knock yourself out, Billy, you know, and the rest of them. Let's see you do it. Let's just see if you buckle like Powell did in 2018. In a stock market fell 20%, and all of a sudden, man, all bets were off. We're not going to allow that. So they can talk all they want. I can't wait to see if they're able to follow through with it. And again, I boy, gets back to what Shad was saying. You know, it reminds me of either 2010 or 2019, where everybody said, oh, yeah, they're going to shrink the balance sheet. And, oh, yeah, rates are going to go back up and all this kind of stuff. When it was shown that they were just making it up, they had no intention of following through with that. They know they never could just because of the math. Then the curtain gets pulled back. You know, 2009 into 11, gold went from $700 to $1,900. In late 2018 to the summer of 2020, gold went from $1,250 to $2,100. Could we could easily be entering into that kind of phase again, where everybody figures out at once, like Shad was saying, wait a second, they've just been jacking with us this whole time. They're not going to be able to raise rates. And everybody goes rushing into the metals again. Some say that's why the stock market's holding in there, because the stock market's already looking ahead at three or four rate cuts in 2023. What happens when all of a sudden gold starts thinking that way too? So again, you know, as we wrap this up, that's kind of where we began. This is just a good time to be paying attention, examining, you know, your asset allocation. Make sure you're not too heavily weighted one place or the other, because anybody that tells you they know for sure what's going to happen in the weeks and months to come is probably either selling you something, or they are so full of themselves that you probably don't want to listen to them anyway.
Very true, Craig. Nothing is for certain. And yeah, don't listen to those people that are guaranteeing, especially world-changing events in the next couple weeks or even a couple months. You just don't know. And it's definitely not the time to be too aggressive in any, either long or short position right now, because volatility, it's here to stay, it seems like. And boy, oh boy, that can swing people's trades out of the money very quickly. Craig, I know you got to run, buddy, but thank you for your time today. We'll chat next week, and I hope you have a great weekend.
All right, boys. Good talking to you.